podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
I would like to share with you a communion devotion that I've recently heard. The text comes from Luke 24, verses 30 to 35, which takes place after the crucifixion. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight, and they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. I love the last phrase in verse 35. Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Think about that for a moment. Their eyes saw the plate and the loaf. They witnessed him reaching for the bread and tearing it apart. Something seemed familiar. Could this be the same man who just earlier, days earlier, in the upper room, broke bread in a similar fashion and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body"? And in the same way, is this the man who offered them a cup, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins"? Suddenly, they knew. There was no question as he handed them each a piece of bread. They couldn't help but to see the scars in his hand. This most certainly was Jesus. What other living man could walk around bearing the marks of the crucifixion? Then their eyes were open. It all made sense. For as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is the power of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful that that cross that your son was so willing to go upon. And we're grateful, Heavenly Father, to know that the tomb that he was put in is empty. Father, as we take the cup and the bread, we're reminded of that great sacrifice. We just ask, Father, that you be with each and every one of us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. And happy Mother's Day. If you do not get a flower coming in, all women, we have flowers in the back there for you. Make sure you pick one up on the way out. And they're for all women. You either are a mother or you have a mother that you're celebrating today. So please make sure you pick a flower up if you missed one coming in. Please look over the bulletin, a number of things coming up. We do not have a board meeting today. It says that in the bulletin. I know we hardly ever have a mistake in the bulletin, but there is one today. No board meeting. That'll be next week. Vacation Bible School is coming up. And because of the pandemic, I think we're having a little hard time getting volunteers, so we need help. If you check that list to sign up to volunteer, we expect a rather large VBS this year because everybody's been cooped up. And our Wednesday night youth group, we're having a lot of kids come out, so we need help. So please check that list there. If you don't know where you can help, just check with Jessica. Or I think there's even a place there where you can sign up, says, "I don't know what I want to do, but I want to help." So if you can, sign that list. We need that help this summer. Graduate Recognition Sunday will be May 23rd. If you have somebody graduating, please look at this announcement here. We need you to send us some information to the office, and we'd like to recognize them on May 23rd. So please do that. My Sunday school class today, the number of Sunday school classes, but if you do not attend a regular Sunday school class, I want to invite you to join us. We're beginning today the book of Daniel, a very exciting book in the Old Testament. So I would hope we meet in the gym, just come in, grab a cup of coffee, and join us for Sunday school right after the service here. Please do look over the prayer list. How's Catherine doing? Doing okay? She looks like she might be coming home next week. She's packing her bags. Okay, she's doing great. So continue to keep her and those on the list in your prayers. Please add Jeannie Harris to the list. Her brother Tim passed away unexpectedly yesterday. So please keep Jeannie and her family, Tim's family, in your prayers if you would. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Father, we're grateful that we could be here today. And we ask that you hear our prayers as we bring them before you this morning. Amen. You know, this Sunday, 45 years ago, on this Sunday, Sarah and I came to East Palestine. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but 45 years. And I tell you that so you can tell me this after the service. Bob, you don't look that old. Okay, so let's see if you'll do that. Today's Mother's Day, and we're going to look at a passage that I think would be very helpful to mothers, not just to mothers, but to everyone, but I think very helpful to mothers. It's not, the sermon's not a per se Mother's Day sermon, but a passage, I think, just a helpful passage. I think it'll help new mothers and expectant mothers, single mothers and empty nesters, and grandmothers, mothers who have adopted children, foster mothers, mothers who are facing a problem with a child or two, mothers who have lost a child, mothers who are facing illness, and women who would like to be mothers but are not able to be mothers. We're going to look at a passage that will help the Christian mother. And not only mothers, all of us, no matter where you find yourself in life today, no matter what's going on in your life, I think this passage is just an extremely helpful passage. It's one of my favorite passages of the Bible, if not my favorite. It's one that I find myself looking in the mirror and quoting to often. It's found in Romans chapter 8. Now, Romans chapter 8 is a marvelous chapter. It begins by reminding us that because we're in Jesus Christ, we are not going to be condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it ends by reminding us that nothing in all creation, nothing in this world, nothing in heaven, no angels, no demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And in between those two great pearls of truth, we find the number of gems. Like Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or Romans 8:27, for we are more than conquerors. Notice that, not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now the passage that we're going to look at this morning is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'm sure a very familiar passage to you. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Would you read that with me? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What I want to do this morning is just kind of break this verse down and talk about it a little bit. The verse says, and we know. And we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, how do we know this? How do we know that in all things, God works for our good? Do we know it through our experiences? Is it something that we have experienced in life? Well, maybe a little bit. We've experienced it. On some occasions, you know, we see something and the first thought, the first glance, we think, oh, this is a terrible thing. And we discover later, you know, that this thing really turned things around or opened doors or changed things, and we're surprised by it. Two Christians might think that their daughter is marrying the biggest bozo in the world. If that's the case, no, don't be raising your hands. But you might be thinking that. And then over a period of time, you discover, man, she was right. He's the greatest husband. He's the greatest father. He's the greatest son-in-law that we could have ever had. And God surely worked all that out for the good. Woman goes in for a blood test, having a very minor surgery. Gets a call from the doctor, I need to talk to you. Goes into the office, and the doctor says, in your blood test, we discovered that you have cancer. Can you imagine that? All you're doing is getting a minor surgery, not even staying overnight, just minor surgery, going home, and it's so horrible. You discover that you have cancer. But then the doctor says, but you know what? Because we discovered it so early, it's 100% curable. And then all of a sudden she thinks, wow, you know, it's so fortunate that I had this blood test, that I came in for this. It turned out for the good. So every so often we have those types of experiences, but you know all too well it doesn't always happen like that. We see things happen and we have no explanation for it. We see things happen and we can't see anything good ever coming from it. We hear about a child who gets AIDS through a blood transfusion. We hear about an unfaithful husband after being married to his wife 15 years. He leaves with his lover, leaves his three kids, takes all the money out of the bank and is gone. Read a newspaper about a father and a mother and a 10-year-old boy who are in an accident, and mom and dad die, and the 10-year-old is paralyzed, and he has no other family. What I am saying is our experiences don't always prove that we have a God who works all things out for our good. How do we know it's true? How do we know that it's true that God does that? Well, very simply, because he tells us in his word. Remember the kind of Joseph in the book of Genesis? Joseph was sold in slavery by his brothers. He was taken to a foreign land. He was a good servant that moved to the number one in the household, in charge of everything, and then his master's wife, Potiphar, charged him with rape. He didn't do it. But he was put into prison for 2 years. God blessed him in prison. When he got out of prison, God blessed him, and Joseph ended up becoming second in command of all of Egypt. Then there's a famine in Canaan where his family is, and his brothers end up coming to Egypt to get food. And they see Joseph, and they think Joseph is going to seek revenge. But Genesis 50, verse 20 says, Joseph said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And Joseph and his family, they enjoyed a great reunion. The Bible is replete with story after story about how God works things out for the good of his people. Think of the scriptures that talk about Abraham and Moses, Ruth and Tamar, David, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Jonah, Daniel, Job, and more and more. All of these people discovered that in spite of difficult times, God was working through them for the good and for his glory. And of course, when we think about this, the best example of this is Jesus himself. He, in spite of bitter rejection and cruel beatings and that cruel, tragic death upon the cross, God was working through this for our good. We know. And we know, the scripture says, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We know that because the Bible tells us so. Knowledge certainly can change your perspective on things. Let me give you a couple of examples. Suppose you're walking along a path and all of a sudden a man jumps out with a gun. You're scared. Or you're driving down the road and around the corner up from the hill comes this giant flood of water. Or there's a fire. You're walking down the street and a fire all of a sudden burst out in the building next to you. Now, all those things would frighten you unless you know that you're on a Universal Studios tour. And these are all special effects. So knowledge changes your perspective of things. You may face this intense abdominal pain, and the natural reaction is to be very concerned and nervous. You might even think you're dying, unless you know that you're 9 months pregnant and that pain is contractions, and then you feel a rush of excitement and anticipation. So you may face one tragedy, one problem after another here in this world. But the fact is, you can know. You can know that in all things God works for your good. And that means you can have peace even in difficult times. Next, this verse tells us in all things God works for our good. It can be hard for us to see God working for our good in all things. And some things, maybe, sometimes possibly, as maybe even for some people most of the times, but it's very difficult for us to see God working for our good in all things. There's an old story about a king in Africa who had a very faithful servant who had a positive attitude about everything in life, and whether it was good or bad, he would always say, "This is good." Whatever happened to him, he'd always say, "This is good." Very positive man. One day he and the king were out on a hunting expedition, and he was in charge of loading the king's gun. And he did something wrong, and the king shot, and he blew off his thumb. And the king went over and talked to the servant, and the servant said, "Well, that's something else, you know, but this is good." And of course, that really made the king mad. He's missing his thumb. And he put this friend of his, this servant, in jail, and he remained in jail for 3 years. Well, 3 years later, the king's on another hunting expedition, and he somehow wandered into a territory where there were cannibals. And they caught him, and they took him to their village, and they tied him to a stake and put wood underneath him, and they're ready to set him upon fire. And just as they're ready to do that, because he's going to be the afternoon meal, just as they're ready to do that, they notice his thumb is missing. Well, they're superstitious people, and they won't eat anything that is not whole. So they release him and let him go. And as he returns home, he's reminded of how he lost his thumb, and he felt terrible about what he did to his friend and servant. So he goes to the immediately he went to the jail to speak to his servant. And he said, "You were right." He said, "It was a good thing that my thumb was blown off." And he proceeded to tell the servant what had happened. He said, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I did a very bad thing and I put you in jail. And the servant said, no, no, that was a good thing. And the man said, good thing? How in the world could that be a good thing? He said, because if I wasn't in jail, I would have been with you and I'm whole. See, he found good that came out of a very bad situation. But that's not always easy to do. The good that comes out of a bad situation isn't always obvious. So again, it's going to be by faith that we know that in all things, God works for our good. And then the verse says, God works for the good. We know in all things, God works for the good. So notice the verse doesn't say we know that God always stops bad things from happening to those who love him. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that all things that happen are good. Doesn't say that. But God has made this promise that in all things God will work for our good. Now he does promise us that in eternity no bad things will happen to us, to those who are called according to his purpose, to those who love him. Now he didn't say it exactly that way, but heaven is a place of no more pain, no tears, no sorrow, no sin, no death, no suffering. There'll be no drug abuse in heaven, no accidents in heaven, no child abusers, no murderers, no rapists, no liars. We'll never hear about the ravages of disease in heaven, never hear about someone drowning or a drive-by shooting. Nothing evil can enter heaven. So God has promised someday no bad thing will ever happen to you. But that's not the promise he makes here in Romans chapter 8. Bad things happen to us in this world. We know some reasons for that. We live in a sin-cursed world. When Adam and Eve, God created the world, and Adam and Eve were in paradise, there was no death, no disease, no suffering. But they sinned, and that brought a curse upon the world. And Genesis 3, 17 through 19 says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food. So we have natural disasters and illnesses and hurricanes and tornadoes because we live in a sin-cursed world. We also live in a world where God has given us free will. God allows people to make choices. Sometimes people make bad choices, and those bad choices may affect us. Sometimes we make bad choices, and the bad choices affect us. We also live in a world where Satan and his forces are waging war against his church. Satan is not out to do you any good. The Bible says he's a liar, he's a murderer, he's deceitful, and the closer you get to God, the harder he's going to fight against you. And many of the bad things that happen in this world happen because of Satan. So we could go on. There are other reasons why bad things happen to us in this world. And God does not promise us that bad things will not happen in this world. But he does promise that he will take that which is bad and he will work it out for our good. Doesn't say what happens is good, but he will work it out for our good. When I was a kid, my mother did a lot of baking, mostly from scratch. And she made a lot of homemade pies and cakes. And my brother and I always loved it when she made homemade pies because she always picked the fruit off the tree. She'd go to orchard, get it. We had a cherry tree in the backyard. And we loved it. She'd peel the apples. And as she was peeling the apples, she'd cut off a piece and give it to us. Peel the next apple, cut off a little piece, give it to us. So we loved watching her make this pie. And then she would roll up the raw dough. Did you ever do this? Roll up the raw dough and roll it in sugar or a little cinnamon. She'd give us these little dough balls to eat, and we would eat them. And then my mother and grandmother would argue over whether we were going to get worms. We always loved it when she made pie. She made homemade cakes, too, and we loved that. She'd make the icing. She'd let us lick the bowl clean. But I never ate the flour when she was making the cake. I never ate the baking powder. There are eggs. She never said, hey, Bobby, come here. Have a half teaspoon of salt. I never ate the raw ingredients because they weren't good as separate ingredients. But with Mom working them all together, they turned out for the good. There are things that happen that are bad. They are not good. God doesn't call them good. But he can take those things that are not good, and he can work them together for our good. I want to tell you, as a kid, I never understood how mom could take all those terrible ingredients and put them in a bowl and bake them in an oven, and out came a wonderful cake. And I might always see and understand how God can take bad things that happened in my life and turn them around for good. But I'm glad that he can, and I'm glad that he does. And last of all, he says, we know that in all things God works for the good, notice, of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. This promise is for Christians. God doesn't promise that all things will work out for the good for non-believers. Now, God may take some bad things that happen in their lives and work them out for the good. He doesn't say that he won't do that, but he doesn't make that promise. But he makes that promise to Christians. Now, remember, he doesn't promise that everything that will happen in your life will be good. Don't misread this. He does promise that whatever happens, he will work it for your good. You might not see exactly how he does that, but that's his promise. He does it. One of my favorite poems over the years has been the poem, The Weaver. And every so often I take it out and read it. And I read it to my grandson the other day, and I had to explain it to him because he wasn't quite old enough to understand it, to understand what a weaver was and a shuttle. But I love this poem. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the lower side. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. I don't always understand God's plan. I don't always understand God's pattern, why he does what he does or why he allows what he allows. But I can know that he promises that he will work all things for my good. That's a wonderful promise if you're here this morning and you're a Christian. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God wants you to be a Christian. He loves you so much that he gave his son to die for you. And he wants this promise to be your promise, along with so many others, including the promise of heaven and the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says to have our sins forgiven, to become a child of God, we need to have faith. And faith that leads us to turn away from our way we would go and go the way he would have us to go, that's called repentance. It calls us to confess him and then to be baptized into him. The Bible says for the forgiveness of sins, a gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, hold on to this great promise. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, do what you need to do so this promise and so many more can be yours. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, and as we sing this hymn, if you want to come forward, and I'll talk to you after the service. If you have questions about this, you can just come forward and we'll talk up here. Or if you want to come forward, you're ready to be baptized into Christ. We turn on the heater this morning. The water's warm. No alligators in the water or anything. Come forward. We'd be glad to baptize you this morning. We'll take your confession, baptize you right now into Christ Jesus. Let's be standing as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.